dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, joined as I always am by Jeremy Ward. And Jeremy, I want to get right into some fan feedback. Into the inbox, had a real nice email come in this week and thanking us for the spring coverage, and it was saying that very knowledgeable, talking how they assumed with some of their background in sports and media and some different things that they assumed that the spring sports probably not followed as much, perhaps maybe not as many listeners, but still appreciated the way we spread the coverage out into the spring and provide for those that have really put a lot of time into SVC baseball and softball and even track throughout the spring. So they like the way the coverage is starting to get spread out in the history of our website here, particularly with the SVC Sports Talk. Jeremy, the main thing in that email it talked about was a little bit of feedback from some of the talk of different levies maybe going on the ballot and different people discussing different options moving forward. And basically, it was asking on a scale 1 to 10 how concerned we are in terms of the future of high school spring sports, maybe even not just our area, but maybe even in the state. I would think they would be the first to go is what it was saying. So just your thoughts, Jeremy, as I welcome you to the show here on this outstanding email and fan feedback.
Well, it's an interesting point. It's happened in the past where, you have that levy scare. Sometimes it's scare tactics. Sometimes it's just facts. I mean, when they talk about the first to go, the spring sports are generally, non-revenue producing. And, usually you've had the chance, you've had the opportunity to run a levy in the fall. And, when it comes time to put a levy on the May ballot, what better way to get everybody's attention than to, take it out on spring sports, if you will. And like I said, it's happened a couple places in the past. And, this was something we dealt with in the late 80s, going into the 90s, introduction of pay to play to keep some of those sports alive just because of the busing cost. And, it goes in cycles, and school districts, they can't afford to get in a situation where they make poor decisions over the course of a few years, because then if the state funding and the things that they rely on, don't come through, then it's really hard on the residents of the community to take up that financial burden.
Yeah, Jeremy, if I had to put a number on it, I might be willing to go as high as 7. Being a longtime high school baseball coach, I've coached baseball in some way every single year I've been out of high school. So that's quite a while now. And I guess that it means a lot to me. I guess depending on what your future definition is, are we talking right, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? I don't know. I guess I would go about a 7 because, I do think the money's an issue. It's a situation where we don't make a lot of money off of it. And if I'm being honest, I don't know that people are willing to try to make money off of it. As you say, we've gone to the pay to play. A lot of schools have kept that manageable. But if some of these situations get to the level they're talking, I'm afraid spring would be the first to go. And I'm afraid maybe right, even some three sport athletes would be forced financially to maybe eliminate one of those sports. And I could see where maybe that is. Cause I think what happens, Jeremy, and I know you grew up a big time baseball guy. I think sometimes that people look pretty heavy to their summer baseball experience and some different things there. Do you think those are some fair points? Maybe even put a number on it. If I were to say in the next 10 years, not necessarily spring sports being eliminated, but things happening to spring sports that maybe could put them in a little bit of jeopardy in terms of participation.
Well, you know, there's been studies out there just in, you know, the way things have changed in the last 25 to 30 years, the perception of officials, the perception of coaches, the overall change in mindset of a lot of the student athletes and their families in regards to club sports, AAU, even in, you know, individual training. And I mean, if you think about it, you throw in the pay to play, and you have a lot of kids in the spring where it seems like there's a little more flexibility in the spring, where you might see a kid that plays baseball or softball and then goes ahead and, you know, might play some AAU basketball or some club volleyball on the side. And, you know, if you're shelling out that money anyway, then they're saying, well, now all of a sudden, you know, it's not free to play softball or free to play baseball or run track. Then you're exactly right. What are they going to give up? So especially if that spring sport is not your main sport, you know, we would be at risk of losing those kids. And I think you've seen that. There's actually been a pretty big decline over the years in the winter sports. But you certainly see, you know, more and more teams that maybe don't have JV baseball or softball in the spring. It's, you know, it's not prevalent in the SVC in terms of baseball, but you know, a lot of other places, you know, you have teams that don't have JV. So, you know, if I had a number, I think you made a good point about the time frame. I mean, if we're talking about 20 years from now, yeah, it's pretty scary. But, you know, in the immediate future, you know, I would say I would feel comfortable at about a 4.
Well, I'll tell you, really good stuff. I appreciated the email because it's one that obviously means a lot to me, and it really did make me think, which is what I really enjoy, getting the fan feedback. So we appreciate that. Again, our inbox is admin1@svcsportzone.com. Let us know some of your thoughts on this as we move forward, and I'm sure some of our local schools are going to get more and more involved in this. Well, I'll tell you what, fans, stay with us on the other side of the break. We had a few fans offering some fair, unfair for discussion in both baseball and softball.
I don't like it. I love it, love it, love it. Uh-oh. So good it hurts. I don't want it. I gotta have it. Uh-oh. When I can't find the words, I just go. I don't like it. No, I love it.
Well, Jeremy, fair, unfair. I had a couple emails coming in, and you can tell a lot of times you have some longtime listeners. I love the way they start to word things in their email, the way, you know, we would use them on the show. And let's start on the softball side. Had one for softball and baseball, both of them pretty good, really, in terms of discussion pieces. On the softball, Jeremy, it's talking about the Morgan Geno injury, and obviously it's an awful situation. One of the real special players in the recent history of our conference. It's saying the Morgan Geno injury has taken the air out of the SVC, and taking the air out of the SVC is in quotes there. That was their wording in softball this year. Just seems like the race isn't going to be as exciting. So, you know, Jeremy, I know a lot of times you give us some great softball analysis there. Just your thoughts on that in terms of a fair, unfair, and then maybe your take on why in terms of the league race.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. You know, certainly in Zane Trace, it took a lot of the air out of it. And, you know, everybody that's enjoyed watching Morgan play over the past 4 years, you know, you certainly – there's a little bit of atmosphere that goes into your matchup with Zane Trace due to that fact. But, you know, the league has been so interesting this year. Maybe just from an unpredictability standpoint, that I'm not sure that it's not going to be as exciting. It's just not going to be what people thought coming into it. You know, I think Westfall's proven they're more than capable to pretty much compete with anybody. But, you know, I think the overall mindset of the dominant pitchers and the, you know, all the talk that we've done over the years about the circle, that's just not the way it's panned out. So, you know, I don't think it's completely just, the Geno injury. But I think it's the maybe the lack of the dominance in pitching.
You know, Jeremy, I think that is, you know, somewhat fair to me as just an observer. I mean, Westfall obviously seems really good. And, you know, so maybe in terms of the 14-game grind, I see where they're going with the fair, unfair question. I guess for me, there's still a lot of intriguing pitching matchups. I know we talked about maybe the pitching hasn't been as sharp and as consistent as maybe we thought in certain situations. But I think there's going to be some really intriguing head-to-head matchups and really a ton of opportunity for tournament success. Would you agree with that thought?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I think, again, part of that factor is just the knowledge that the players, when you have a league that's got a lot of older players, a lot of experienced players, you know, they just face each other so many times. Oh. And another thing really is the weather. You know, it's been a lot of damp night days, or a lot of windy days, and, you know, those aren't ideal for the pitcher. And, you know, the softball gets slick and it cuts down on your movement and velocity. So, you know, we've kind of had an odd spring altogether.
Well, that's an interesting point real quick before we go to baseball too. Do you think perhaps that's a little bit maybe where the postseason can really kind of give a welcome change for some of these pitchers in terms of, you know, with Paint Valley being 4, Uniota 2, and then a lot of our D3 teams there, maybe getting out into the non-league and seeing some lineups that maybe are not as familiar with their stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with as many young players that are, you know, there seems to be a big gap. There's a lot of brand new and there's a lot of really experienced, and, you know, it's hard for teams to mesh at times. So, yeah, I think the warmer weather and, you know, getting 15 games into the season, I think you're going to see a big difference.
Well, Jeremy, let's shift over here to baseball. They're talking about Adina and some of the opportunities there where they get they survive a scare with Zane Trace earlier in the week. Played a really good game with Paint Valley there on Friday night, and as they continue to stay perfect. And the fair unfair question was worded: winning a gold ball in baseball is the most impressive of all the sports. And yeah, Jeremy, I guess I would start with fair. As I look through the volleyball rally scoring, I've been on record several times saying I think that's really made the league top heavy. I think when the longer the sample size, the less likely the upset. So I think what's happened there is, you know, more and more teams at the bottom of the league just don't have the opportunity to beat some of the elite teams. Football, a lot of times if you're elite, there's going to be four or five teams you're just much, much better than, and you're only playing the one round. No, basketball is difficult, especially on the boys' side, some of the atmospheres you play in. The softball, you have that one pitch. So, yeah, I mean, to me, maybe I'm being a little biased here, Jeremy. Maybe tell me I am or I'm not, but to me, it's that would be fair. To me, the 14-game grind in baseball, that's pretty impressive if you're able to do that.
I completely agree. You know, I think it's completely fair because, unlike any other sport, I mean, you can have a number one pitcher that is a big time player, but he can't pitch every league game, which means you can't put the same lineup out there, what's perceived to be your best lineup out there, night in and night out. And that's not true. You don't start a different five in basketball the second time you play somebody, or Saturday night compared to Friday night. You certainly don't start a different quarterback in week 3 and week 10 unless you have an injury or something has happened, you know. So, you know, it's the one sport where you don't necessarily have the opportunity to put your best lineup on the field or on the court by choice, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the way it works. So to me, that's a very fair question. With the SVC basketball schedule of the back-to-back nights, I think that maybe makes for a better argument than, say, you know, you had to split Tuesday, Friday league schedule like some leagues do. But even with that, I just think the pitching factor in baseball and half and a half, you know, really two or three pitchers at minimum that can win you games to go undefeated in baseball is a big deal.
Now, Jeremy, if I'm being fair to softball, could you make the argument out there of, obviously you have your number one person in the circle every night, but to go through. You are beating a Newland twice, a Lytle twice, a Blevins twice. You know, speaking if you're Westfall here this year, is that a fair argument if we're being fair to softball to at least throw that into discussion?
Well, I don't know. I would say no, just simply because you've seen, if you're in the same grade as some of those pitchers, you probably faced them. Man, I don't know, close to 50 times since you started playing. I mean, right. you have a book on them. So, again, I think it's harder to win in the league against familiar opponents in softball, probably more than anything else. So.
Okay. Well, again, good discussion there. Some good fan feedback. Fans always want to let you know, admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can get involved on Facebook or Twitter. We're SVC Sports Zone there. And then, of course, give us a phone call, 740-569-3254. And, Jeremy, as we come up on our three up, three down, want to let the fans know, as always here, about Crown Hill Golf Club. And a great deal right now, a 5-round membership with cart for $100. So, again, get locked in at that really good rate. Again, that's 5-round membership with cart for $100. You can basically use that any day of the week with a tee time required. So all you need to do there is call 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Ask for Dave or Kevin. Tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Well, Jeremy, let's head into our three up, three down. We'll have Jeremy go first with softball, and I'll follow up here with the baseball answer. Bruce, what do you have for us this week?
What are you finding to be unique about this particular year in the SVC compared to most years in the SVC?
Well, I think the lack of pitching dominance is pretty intriguing and kind of unique. It's not that the players aren't capable, and maybe it is. Maybe it's exactly to the point that you become so familiar with some of these upperclassmen pitchers that you're not quite as intimidated by them. I'm not sure what the factor is, but it's certainly been interesting to see. We've had a couple low scoring games, but we've had quite a few games where there's a lot of runs scored, and I don't think that we necessarily expect that night in and night out.
Jeremy, I was looking for kind of a unique answer in terms of what that word jumped out at me here. I'm going to go with left-handed pitching. It seems to be something in the league that maybe a little bit more than years past. The Blevins kid there at the Dean is really special. He's going to be a really, really good one when it's all said and done. I know Chester, Dye, Sigler, Brooks, and I'm sure I'm missing a couple. That's just off the top of my head. But, you can kind of get yourself in a situation where you see three or four of these guys in a 10-day period. That's a little bit unique at the high school level.
What is the main headline you are looking at as the SVC hits the halfway point in the middle of the upcoming week?
Well, who can run with the Mustangs? I mean, they're certainly at the point where they could run away with the softball league. Night in and night out, I think their lineup just wears on you, much like maybe Unita did 2 or 3 years ago, where there's just not a break in the lineup, and they grind, and they're athletic, and they're so strong defensively, they just put a lot of pressure on you.
Well, Jeremy, I'm going to go with heavyweight fight. I tell you, I mean, it's just a slugfest in terms of just the adversity and the different things, the highs and the lows. Everybody can beat everybody, and there's going to be times you go through adversity and you're going to feel like you're just getting punched in the gut, and there's going to be times that you play well and you get a big win, and how do you handle success? So when things are going well and you get some of the nice things that come along with that, how do you handle that? So it's just going to be the everyday grind. As believe it or not, we're less than 2 weeks to the draw.
One fan wanted to know what makes Westfall softball and Edina baseball so much better than the rest of the league.
Well, I think that depth of talent comes into play. We talked so much about, as you turn the lineup over, It seems like some lineups only are batting seven, and you never do catch that break. I mean, as a coach, I know that's what you feel like sometimes. You're like, man, is she batting again, or is he batting again? And I think both of those lineups really put that pressure on you. And then, I mean, you could point to the same thing on defense. There's just not a lot of weak spots.
Yeah, I mean, this is real simple. It comes down to the depth and, you know, just the overall basic fundamentals, mannerisms, different things. Be a bunt well, make the routine plays, throw a lot of strikes, good depth and pitching. Adina just does all of those things, and they do them at a level just a little bit better than everybody else. Well, fans, again, Facebook and Twitter, I've already mentioned those. Again, the inbox is admin1@svcsportzone.com, or give us a call, 740-569-3254. It's been a lot of fun so far this week because so much of the agenda has been driven by you, the fans. And you know, Jeremy, I want to go back into some of our answers there. I just wanted to get your take on my answer there, number one, the left-handed pitching, in terms of at the high school level, what that can do to just kind of maybe change the pace of a game in terms of against the running game or at bats to maybe, you know, you're not seeing very many. If you only get 6, 9, 12 at bats throughout a 3-4 week period, that's not much of a look.
Well, there's no question. It's interesting because every SVC baseball game that I've seen this year, which I've seen more than a normal year, I've watched a couple non-league games, and then I've gotten the opportunity to slide over and watch some baseball after the softball games were over this year. And every single game that I've watched, there's been a left-handed pitcher. And I was telling somebody that the other day. So it's extremely unique. And I remember, one of my early years coaching, all the dominant pitchers in our league that year were left-handed. And it just seemed like, you know, the running game shut down, like you said, because either the lefty pitcher had a good move, or there's this assumption in high school kids that lefties have good moves, so they a little closer to the bag, they're not as aggressive on the base pass. And that's such a huge weapon as a high school pitcher. If you can control the running game, it really cuts down on the opportunities that an offense has against you, and it forces them to go station to station. And I mean, high school baseball is about taking extra bases and about maximizing your opportunity. So I think you're exactly right with those lefty pitchers. It just really changes the game.
Yeah, Jeremy, I get the impression you and I haven't had a chance to talk a lot off the air in the last week or so with the busy schedule, and I get the impression that maybe we're looking two different directions here with baseball and softball in terms of just how crazy competitive it could be. You know, in your headline there, do you anticipate someone getting Westfall, or do you think early was the opportunity and that opportunity is gone?
Yeah, I think early was the opportunity, and I think, you know, you can look all the way back into the first few league games when teams had, I know the Unyoda game that Unyoda left like 11 people on base in the first three innings against Westfall, and it comes to that point where, like, when you're trying to form your identity with a new pitcher and, you know, in their case, a new shortstop, once they get that confidence back and then they remember, hey, it's been a long time since, people have had success against us and we're the defending state champions. I mean, that just doesn't go away with graduation. You know, you still have a lot of kids with experience, and you see them play with that confidence. And, I think it would have been, it was big for someone to get them early, because I think they're going to be extremely tough to beat.
Well, and then on the last question there, I found myself just kind of almost shaking my head as you were answering. You mentioned the bottom of the order. You know, when you get to that 8-9 in high school baseball, high school softball, the ability to put the ball in play, and then beyond that, the ability to be a really good hitter. It seems like, as I look back over some of the really good baseball teams in the SVC in terms of winning the league or in terms of great tournament success, one characteristic that jumps out at me is great production from the bottom of the order, particularly that 9-hole. Would you agree there that a lot of times just having the ability, even if it's just to put the ball in play, you might be making the defense make another 4 or 5 plays in that particular game?
Absolutely. No question about it. And I think execution comes to play. And, you know, I guess that's the one thing that, you know, if I look back on, you know, the unique situations, I think execution is something that I've seen is lacking this year. And you could speak more to that on the baseball side of things. But every time that somebody talks about a Dena baseball, they talk about execution and being able to move runners. And like you say, put the ball in play. So, you know, that's just an immeasurable factor of success in high school baseball or softball.
And you know, Jeremy, it, with the Adina lineup, it's not just the bottom of the order production or whatever it is. It's the execution throughout all levels. You know, they're able to bunt in all nine spots. They're able to hit and run with a lot of combinations throughout. You know, you've got a lot of kids that, you know, in my scouting report, I would label with plus speed. They're going to go first to third on you. They're going to score from second. They're going to do a lot of things. And when I hear you talk about Westfall, some of that same athleticism and some of the same pressure, you know, there's a reason people have a tendency to make more errors a lot of times against some of those teams, because again, they're doing things where they're putting the ball on the ground an extra 5-6 times a game, and they're running pretty well at 7 or 8 spots in their lineup.
Right, no question about it. And again, it's about pressure. You know, if you can put the pressure on the other team, they're going to make mistakes. And like I said, if you can control that and remain in charge, so to speak, it's really hard to overcome.
Well, Jeremy, let's finish the show up this week with our Have a Clue Blue. And once again, I want to have this brought to our fans by the Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, I really encourage you to call Dave or Kevin there at 740-986-GOLF. I just think that 5-round membership's really, really good. Plus, they have some opportunities coming up here throughout the week, some different scramble nights, some different league nights. So you want to check that out. I know I was able to get the golf clubs out over the weekend here for the first time, so you get the itch there a little bit, and I'm sure a lot of you have the same. So should make sure you check that out. And, you know, Jeremy, as we get into our Have a Clue Blue, we had a situation that you and I actually talked maybe a little bit about in the Reds game here a while back. I know my brother and I had conversation about it as well, and then some situations came up in a high school game to where this conversation was, I don't know, 3 or 4 of us talking about the live call. And what we mean by the live call is how difficult it is in just the two main crew, as the ball is doing something in a live situation where the initial call is going to impact the way the people react from that standpoint. You know, for an example, if you are a base runner and it's first and second and a ball's hit to the outfield and it's trapped or it's different, then you as a base umpire have to be able to run out there, and you have to be able to make a decisive call, because the lead runner is obviously off of second base waiting. Was it a catch? Did it fall? Do I have to run? Do I have to do different things? So talk to us a little bit about the difficulty, Jeremy, and how maybe it's a little bit harder even in baseball because of the size of the field compared to if that same call were to unfold in a softball game. I know you were talking to us about some interesting positioning last week as we get into these types of calls.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I think a lot of people know what we're talking about in terms of the Reds game, you know, whether the out was made by a tag or a force, and then how that dictates, you know, the tag next play, call. So, yeah. Or, yeah, sure. You know, can they go back? Yeah, one of my favorites is always, you know, when you have a runner on first base and the ball's hit and it carries the first baseman straight to the bag, and they step on the bag and they make the throw to second, and how few times that the runner has the presence just to go back to first, because now that the force is behind them, you know, they have to be tagged out at second. They don't have to run into that tag, but yet you see it so many times, and it's a great teaching opportunity for your kids. I remember that happened last year. I had a little league team going to practice after the varsity game. That happens in a varsity game. Well, now you get to have that conversation with all of your younger players about, you know, if this happens, you need, you know, it can only be a force if it's you know, if it stays in order, and if it goes backwards, you know, all of a sudden the force is off. So it is important that the umpires are decisive, and it's important that, you know, you have conversations player to player, coach to player, parent to child about these scenarios and the little unique nuances, if you will, that you know, where the rules can work out in your favor if you know exactly the way, you know, it's supposed to be called.
Well, the other thing I wanted to get in this week, there's been a big focus in terms of the speed of the game. You know, you've heard it all the way up to the major league level, using different clocks and so forth, and trying to play at a little faster paced game, hoping to try to make baseball, softball, whatever. Man, and softball is probably not much of a factor as much as baseball, but the big thing is the transitioning from inning to inning. And I wanted to get your take, Jeremy, because I know you've worked so well with younger kids as well. How important is it down into the little league level, just the organization of the game? Maybe it's the organization of the dugout, you know, just teaching guys how to have the glove and the hat together, and maybe helping each other pick each other up and different things. Obviously, as you get into the higher levels, you hand the helmet to the coach and your teammates pick you up and so forth. How much down into the little league do you think just teaching kids how to play the game the right way in terms of hustling on and off and different things can impact some of this?
Well, that's the biggest factor. It's just the running on and off the field. You know, you're dead on with the organization. If from a young age, coaches have to be super organized, even more so than they are with older kids. You have to have help. First of all, one person, you know, can't organize all that. Sure. And be out on the field and in the dugout and vice versa. So you really have to have a plan, and you have to have, you know, 2, 3, 4 people involved that understand what the expectations are and organize things for the kids and keep them prepared and keep them thinking. You know, truth be told, one of the most important aspects of baseball and softball is thinking ahead. What's going to happen when this happens? And this anticipation of, you know, how do I react when this situation occurs? And that starts with in the dugout. You know, just because, you know, you're on deck doesn't mean you peel off your catcher's gear. You know, how many times have you seen that at young ages? You know, teach them what the expectations are. You see it all the time. If there's like a double play, you know, on a pop up, or, you know, even a, you know, an infield double play, it's a longer transition because with two outs, the kids are kind of expecting, okay, well, now I got to get ready and have my stuff. But with one out, you know, you don't get that same mindset. So it's a big part of, you know, it's little things, but it, you know, it translates into bigger parts of the game. But the running on and off the field and knowing where your gear is, and you know we used to joke when we came into the dugout with my little kids teams, I just used to have everybody put your helmet on, and part of that was so you didn't ever have to stand out there waiting for the next kid to come up and they're searching for their helmet. But a bigger part of it was an attitude that, you know what, you're ready to hit when you put your helmet on. So go ahead and put your helmet on, because we're ready to hit. Everybody's going to hit this inning. You know, it's a bit of a mindset, and it's continuity. So there's so many little things that you can teach, and then it just naturally speeds the game up because the kids are involved, they're paying attention, they're anticipating what they can do next, you know, the next thing they can do to be involved. And that's why a lot of times baseball and softball get a bad rap about being boring, is because so many people just wait for something to happen instead of anticipating, you know, their role and what's going to happen next.
Well, and you know, someone had even thrown in, I'll throw this in here just because it was involved in some of the fan feedback. Someone compared it kind of the school, from an elementary kid to a middle school to a high school kid, in terms of as you get older, you're becoming a little bit more independent in terms of having the correct books and getting to class and, you know, can you get there in the 3 or 4 minute segment and so forth? And as you get to high school, obviously you would hope that picks up a little bit. Do you follow that email there a little bit in terms of the comparison to how this carries over to academically?
Yeah, I think so. And I would I would also make the point that it's expectation. If you're expected to do something in a timely manner, you know, that it'll become your routine. And I don't care if it's, you know, they used to joke some schools, they might transition classes and switch classes, you know, as early as second or third grade. You know, maybe it's only once a day, or maybe it's, you know, three times a day. But there's other schools, they may not transition that until fifth or sixth grade. The first year you do it, there's growing pains, but it's an expectation. And the earlier you start that expectation, the quicker it becomes habit.
Well, tell you what, good stuff. Fans, if you have an idea for Have a Clue Blue, please send it to us at admin1@svcsportzone.com or give us a phone call, 740-569-3254. Well, Jeremy, a lot of fun this week. Some great fan feedback. I hope we'll get a little bit more to come. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the fine people at DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.